When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, everybody, we took this week off, but we're going to share one of our classic episodes. Enjoy.
Entering the world of Crisis on Infinite Films, brought to you by All Too Real 2 Podcast.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2 Podcast. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me as always is
Linda Lee.
No, you're not Linda Lee.
Oh, okay.
What is your name?
I'm not going to say it.
All right, Kara Zor-El.
That's fine.
I'm pretty sure it's Matthew Haas.
Not going to say it.
I think it's Matthew Haas.
I'm not going to acknowledge that name.
Why not?
I don't know, just don't feel like it.
It's bothersome.
I have a new identity now. I don't need to recognize my old name.
You don't?
Mm-mm. Because I was born again in light. And you know what I'm talking about.
In light?
In the light being?
Oh, of Tony Generous?
Yeah.
Yeah, the people on this podcast don't know about our good friend Tony Generous.
I don't care. I'm going to spread his word in
every podcast.
Every format available at all.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, that could be a good thing or bad thing.
You have really piercing eyes. Do you realize that?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Thank you. I always have. So, anyways, today we're starting this new series of, looking at films that I want to call... Crisis on Infinite Films. It is yes.
It's
a crisis.
A play on a comic book series.
Yes.
Or event, rather.
Yes, the Crisis on Infinite Earths. Anyways, today we are covering the 1984 British-American film.
Oh, British-American.
Yeah, it was actually filmed in Great Britain.
Okay.
And it actually says a British film according to... Wikipedia. That's my so that's free for you, Wikipedia.
That's jingle. Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to, start advertising, because I'm sure nobody visits your website. Wait.
Wow.
Probably everybody. the movie's called Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with the TV series Supergirl, which is currently airing on the CW.
Nope. Not even close.
We do have one of the actors from that show on here. Helen Slater stars in this film as...
As Kara Zor-El.
Kara Zor-El.
And Super, slash
and
Supergirl.
Linda Lee.
Yeah, Linda Lee. Her
slash Supergirl.
Yeah.
Yes, this was produced by the Salkinds, who produced the first three Superman films, not the fourth one, which came out after this movie.
Okay.
This and the failure of Superman 3 convinced them to sell the rights.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
I can imagine maybe why, but...
Yes.
By the way, Helen Slater, she plays... TV Supergirl's adopted mother and
yes.
Supergirl TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But she plays Supergirl in this movie.
Yes. This movie also features the talents of Mia Farrow.
Mm-hmm.
Peter O'Toole.
Mm-hmm.
Faye Dunaway.
Mm-hmm.
All like award-winning actors.
Mm-hmm.
Who have been in no better film than this film.
Mm-mm.
Nope. This and, yep. No Mommy Dearest or, you know,
Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby, yeah. Or,
or, Princess Bride. No, that's not Peter O'Toole, is it?
No.
Sorry.
Wasn't he in the movie?
The movie, that one
about the guy.
I don't know the guy
who traveled in like stuff, and he wore the turban on the cover.
Lawrence of Arabia?
Yes,
he was in that.
Wasn't he Lawrence of Arabia?
Oh, was he? Okay,
thought so. Okay. Yeah, I think he was. Yes,
that's a good movie.
I'm thinking he was. Let's look that up really quick.
Sure.
While we can. Yes. See, there he is.
Okay. There yes. he is.
Mr. T.E. Lawrence himself.
Mm.
Peter O'Toole.
You know he made most of that up, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was like his memoirs.
Oh, I know.
Mostly bullshit.
Oh, I'm sure. But, yes. But that movie is considered one of the greatest movies of all
it's
time.
It's a really good movie.
Yeah. And, not better than this movie, though.
Nope. This movie's 2 hours long, and
feels like four.
Yeah, feels like four.
So if you want to feel like you just spent 4 hours doing something in 2 hours and get the enjoyment of 4 hours worth of something in only two,
mm-hmm.
watch Supergirl 1984.
Yep.
Yes. Ah, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Also, another person in this movie was Mark McClure, reprising his role of Jimmy Olsen from the Superman films.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was cool.
Just wanted to point that out. Christopher Reeve was supposed to make a cameo in this movie, but he decided that he was not good enough to be in this movie.
Mm-hmm. He wasted the potential by not showing yes. up in this. But they did have a poster of him, though.
Yes.
And Linda's dorm room / well, I guess dorm.
Well, room. And Lucy, because she shares a dorm room with Lucy Lane.
Yes,
as in Lois Lane's younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool.
Yes.
And how does she know? She must have known that was the school to go to then. I'm jumping ahead here. Sorry. I think
it might just be a coincidence.
Okay.
like how things happen in these things.
Yeah. Just a whole series of coincidences yes. in these movies, and
it's kind of like on soap operas where everybody seems to know each other and things just happen, and you're like, "Oh, that's my brother."
And dies twice or three yeah. times and comes back to life, resurrected. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, let's hop into the good old time machine, and let's find out what happened in this, Matt. What's the plot here?
The plot here is very drawn out. There's maybe...
Is there a plot?
There is a plot,
okay.
But it's very, very loosely put together. And there's maybe two stories in the entire movie, which is 2 hours long.
And by the way, this was written by Timothy Burrill. So he's responsible for plot.
Well, he's responsible for the writing, yes, but not the pacing of the film.
Yes,
that responsibility is on other people.
On the director and editor. The director is Jeannot Schwartz, who also directed Somewhere in Time featuring Christopher Reeve.
Okay, well...
Christopher Reeve actually suggested him for this movie.
That's very inconsistent. Okay.
And Somewhere in Time, if you have not seen it, is one of the few movies that makes me cry every time I watch it.
It's a very good movie.
It's...
One of the best.
Really. Yes.
And
I can't watch it anymore, but it's still...
It's very sad. Yeah,
very
it's a
sad.
Very good movie.
Mm-hmm. It's probably one of the best time travel movies ever made.
Mm-hmm.
So... Sorry about that.
That's all right. So, the plot. Okay, so the plot is very drawn out and weird. So, what happens is it starts in Argo City. For those who don't know, when according to the Superman, I guess, plot, you know, the overall, the general story of the Krypton was the planet of Krypton was destroyed, but not all the Kryptonians died after Krypton blew up.
Yeah.
So what happened was the remaining ones who kind of found each other scattered throughout space, they created their own artificial city called Argo City that was powered by a special device.
Argo, fuck yourself.
Oh, sorry. Argo, fuck. Wow.
Sorry. I was just remembering the movie Argo.
Yes. Yeah, every time I hear Argo, I remember that movie too. Yeah, it's a good movie.
Yes.
A good movie. But the city is powered by something called the Omega Hedron, which is like this device that's, I don't know exactly where it comes from, but it's kind of like magical in some ways. Well, magical, I guess, on our Earth, but in there it's more of a scientific thing. But a guy named Zaltar, he's kind of like he's like the main designer of the city, and he quote borrowed the Omega Hedron. He's not supposed, no one's really supposed to have it, to kind of do more creativity stuff. And then he was trying to hide it from the fact that he had it because he was talking to Kara's mom, because she came up, and then he kind of kicked the ball a little bit behind him, but then it got caught up in Kara's cloak or whatever she was wearing. Mm-hmm. And I guess she moved or whatever, and then that caused the ball to fall in that little, what was it called? I forgot the name. Hold, some kind of hold that was basically, it fell in a hole is what happened. And
yeah,
and this thing basically powered the whole city. So everyone was going to die now because of it. And they were really upset because you could tell by their acting where they're like, oh no, the city's, that's the only thing that can power the city. Yes, I must be sent to the Phantom Zone for what I did. Your suffering will end soon, but mine will be everlasting. Like, you know, very, you know, like, you know, that's the reaction, you know, you would have to your entire home being destroyed, is very stoic. And it kind of reminds me of the Aladdin movie with, you know, all the child trafficking. Like, I'm really scared, Al. Like,
yeah.
Like, you know,
just Al Haddon.
Al Haddon, you know, this emotion just bursting out, but whatever. So Kara feels it's her fault because she's a woman, and even in Krypton, women are taught to believe everything's their fault. So she goes, she goes to try to retrieve the.
Well, back in 1984, wasn't everything woman's fault?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even
I'm joking, people. Saying, I'm not being serious. Just letting you know.
Well, I'm just saying, like, even on that time, that would even make more sense for people to think that. So she tries to retrieve the Omega Hedron and ends up getting into one of the pods and ends up finding herself on Earth. And it's immediately after she gets here, she ends up, two truckers try to sexually assault her.
Yes. One played by Matt Frewer, who people better know as Max Headroom. And also the next door neighbor in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yep. I know the Max Headroom commercials. I know mm-hmm. I know those. And yes. I know that creepy prank that person did in Chicago back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Where they wore the Max Headroom mask.
Mm-hmm.
That thing still gives me chills, that prank.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is. Something about it. Wow.
But anyway, I think it was Stuff You Should Know did a really good podcast about that situation, so look that up. Either Stuff You Should Know or Stuff They Don't Want You to Know.
Oh, okay.
One of those two. They're both produced by the Stuff Network at iHeartRadio. I'm giving them free advertising because I enjoy both of those shows. So, yeah.
There you go.
And, you know, iHeartRadio, if you'd like to produce our show and give me a bunch of money, go ahead.
Do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so these two truckers, you know, they don't even waste any time either because, like, she's, like, standing, like, I don't know, 30, 40 yards away from the truck, and they just stop the truck, and both of them get out of the truck and walk like 10 minutes to get to her. This movie is really bad at pacing, really. And so they, you know, they take the 10-mile walk to get to her, which I don't know why they decide to stop the truck that far away. And then they, you know, they're they're trying to basically, you know, sexually assault her. You know, they're lifting up her skirt and, you know, saying stuff like, oh, this is a, you know, good view from the behind and all this bullshit. And then, like, you know, so she, you know, she picks up the one guy by the throat and throws him away. And these idiots, they're still trying to fight her. It's like, I don't see, that's the thing I don't understand about any of these movies, where the first villains are always these, like, stupid guys. And they're usually mostly guys. And it's like, okay, at first you don't understand someone's power, fine. But then after they demonstrated just a little bit of what they can do, why do they keep trying to fight them? Like, well, they know, well, they, like, can't win.
She throws the Matt Frewer character.
Yeah.
And the other guy thinks, oh, I can take her after that. And I'm just like,
really?
Dude, your friend might be a little lighter than you because you're the heavier of the two dudes, but I'm pretty sure she can lift you up and throw you too.
This woman weighs like maybe 110 pounds, and she can lift someone
that weighs like 200 pounds, and like, yeah.
What? Yeah. And then she zaps him, you know, his knife. He got out a switchblade.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so she takes care of them. She, you know, knocks them out or whatever. Yeah. And then they're like, hey, how about we agree that we never tell anyone about this? Which, again, that's interesting. So now they're in cahoots of saying that they're not going to tell anyone that they try to sexually assault a woman. So they're like, literally, so it's a conspiracy by a literal definition.
It's either that or they just don't want to tell anybody that a woman beat them up.
Okay, yeah.
I'm guessing that's what they were going for.
Yeah, because they wouldn't care that they would. You know, mm-hmm. You're right, okay. So anyway, so, you know, kind of zoom in a little bit here. Kara, she sees like a softball game.
Yeah, and, with a bunch of like boarding school chicks doing some kind of softball game or whatever. Right. Yeah,
and she sees one of the uniforms. And this is interesting because she doesn't have this power in the TV show, but apparently in this movie she can see someone's outfit and then just kind of make that outfit herself. So she also
changes her hair from blonde to brunette.
So that was pretty cool.
Kind of has a bob instead of a full head of hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. So she got the school outfit on, and then she went to try to be a member of the school, student of the school. And the principal there, his last name was Danvers.
Which is interesting because Kara Danvers is the name of the character currently in the comic books and on TV. Yeah.
Lots of interesting things. What am I missing here? Oh, yeah. Sorry. When she first landed on Earth, okay, there was a man and a woman that are practitioners of black magic, and they're having a picnic.
Oh, yeah.
Nigel and Selena. And then Nigel is, like, the expert, I guess, of black magic or whatever. And Selena's, like, impatient. She, like, wants to, like, learn everything all at once because she wants to be, like, rich and famous and all that stuff. And he's, like, you know, counseling her to, like, you know, take it slow type of thing. And the Omega Hedron fell in, like, this nasty-looking dip that they were eating. I don't even know what it was. It was some, like, shitty orange-colored bullshit. But,
And Nigel is played by Peter Cook, who is a famous English satirist and comedic actor who often worked with Dudley Moore and other people.
I know he looked familiar.
Yeah, he was, I believe, let me look this up really quick. He was in The Princess Bride.
Okay.
Which, that's probably why you were thinking
that's
of
That's
why
I was thinking
Bride.
Of, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he played Sir Mortimer Chris. He was also, He also played the devil in the original version of Bedazzled, the one that they remade.
Oh, okay.
They remade later with replacing him
with Brendan Fraser.
Yeah, no, it's him. He was but then they replaced, and then it was what's her face as the devil.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, because the original was I believe Dudley Moore and him, and then
it was,
yeah,
because I remember one time. Because that's like back when, like, when they had, like, video stores, rental stores.
Yeah.
And what would happen is every time a remake of a movie would come out, they would bring out the older version of it. And sometimes, you know, you'd be none the wiser. You just pick up a movie. So I thought I was renting Bedazzled with Brendan Fraser, and I ended up getting the real one. I was pissed off at first, but then I was like, you know what? This version's actually better.
Not that the other one's bad.
No.
It's just better.
No, it's
and
good.
They're both a retelling of Faust anyway, so they're not really... Yeah.
Yep.
What was that actress's name in that movie now?
I don't even
remember. I don't know.
I don't even remember her. I just remember Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
I don't even remember anyone else in the movie. Really, I don't.
It's Elizabeth Hurley. That's who it was.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, I have a funny story about Bedazzled, too.
Yeah.
So I had a dream once, like 2 years after I saw the movie in the theaters. And I had a dream like 2 years later that I was going to see Bedazzled with one of my friends. And that friend was Brendan Fraser to go see his own movie. But then Brendan, of my dreams, saw some of his other friends at the movie theater.
Yeah.
Who apparently were much cooler than me. And he went to go see the movie with them. And then when I went to go turn my ticket in, they said, oh, sorry, Bedazzled's rated R. You're not old enough to see this movie. I don't think it was rated R in real life. But so I was stuck there now alone because I was like 16 when I saw the movie.
Yeah.
So I was 18 when I had the dream, but I was 16 in the dream.
Okay.
I was, you know, at the age. So then I ended up seeing some other movie. Don't even remember what it was. But it was like, I think it was like something like way violent and like, but they let me see that apparently. But Bedazzled, no. That's
no, too. Never mind. No, no. You know what I got to say to Brendan Fraser? Dream Brendan Fraser, not the real one?
Yeah, yeah.
Argo, fuck yourself. Anyways,
so what else happens?
Yeah. So anyway, she goes to this school, dressed in a uniform, and goes into Danvers' office, and she creates like files and shit for herself, and then basically can go there, and she ends up getting put in a dorm room with Lucy Lane, the sister of Lois Lane. I don't know if I have to say that every time I mention her name.
No,
but,
you don't.
But I should.
Well.
Just to be consistent.
Maybe.
I'm joking. No, no.
If you want, but.
Yeah. And I'm Michael E. Cullen II, brother of Christina Mailer.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to point that out, too. And you're Matthew Haas, brother of Nathan Haas.
Haas, yes.
Yes. Okay, anyways. So,
wow.
Yes. So that happened, and they become friends.
We're taking a long time here because this movie has no plot.
Yes.
Sorry, it's one plot. One plot in the whole fucking movie.
There was a plot?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Can I get into the plot? Because I keep...
Yeah, let's just...
I keep getting sidetracked.
Let's hop into the plot.
Okay.
Because I don't remember this plot.
The plot is Selena gets the Omega Hedron. When she and Nigel are having that picnic,
uh-huh.
And it lands in their shitty-looking dip that they're eating, which, like, it's all orange and nasty-looking. I don't know what the fuck they were eating. It was, like, stupid crap.
Yeah.
And then so she takes it out, and then it's, like, glowing and making all this
weird
stuff.
Maybe it was, like, Thousand Island dressing or something.
Yeah, it was terrible to me, but I don't know. And then, so then, like, it starts, like, you know, doing what she wants, or she just can, I guess, intuit that she doesn't give her power. So then she basically just decides that she's going to leave this Nigel because she doesn't need him anymore because she was only going out with him so he could teach her about black magic or whatever.
Yeah.
So she says, you know, I've outgrown you. These things happen. She gets in the car. He says, I got the keys to the car. She uses the Omega Hedron to start the car and drives off without him. That's the end of Nigel for now in the story. So she goes back to her house or wherever. It turns out that she lives with a roommate who also practices black magic or witchcraft or whatever. They didn't really specify. They kept going back and forth. Which, you know, there's a difference between witchcraft and black magic. And according to some people, there really is no difference between quote-unquote black magic and white magic, which is kind of racist in of itself because black magic is somehow the more corrupt and evil ones, whereas white magic is the more nice and pristine ones, but whatever. So, but, you know, it's just some people just say just magic is just magic. You know, the occult is just the occult. Anyway, I digress. So she lives in this, like, carnival place with her roommate. She says, you know, we don't have to worry about money anymore. We don't have to worry about anything anymore because this ball I've got now, you know, can give me anything I want. Okay? So she has the power of the universe in her hands now. What does she do with the power of the universe, you might ask? Oh, I'll tell you. She's driving around with her friend in a station wagon, and she sees this hot-looking dude sawing a tree with his shirt off doing landscape work, and she decides that what she wants most in the entire world is that guy.
Whoa.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all she wants. So the whole movie literally is about this. So she calls him up as a ruse to, you know, to say that she wants like plants, you know, or trees planted in their house or garden or whatever type of thing. Instead, she's there basically just like, you know, really flirting with him. I wouldn't even call it flirting. I mean, she's practically just offering herself, basically. And then she slips something in his drink. So she basically straight up roofies this guy. Yeah. You know what she does? She roofies him. And it's part of some magical spell. And then the spell is that when he wakes up, the first person he looks at, he's going to be completely smitten by, and he's going to be forever in love with that person. Mind you, she doesn't even know this person. She's only met him at this one time, but yet she wants to spend their entire life with this landscape dude who she's had one conversation with, and that conversation ended when she roofied him. Okay, so he wakes up, I guess, prematurely because the spell didn't work all the way. Because, again, like Nigel said, and you got to listen to Nigel because he's a teacher. Nigel said, don't get too ahead of yourself in your studies and your practice. You got to take it slow. But she didn't want to do it, so she practiced a really advanced spell, and then it backfired on her because he woke up and he starts wandering the streets in this really too long of a scene. The scene goes on for maybe 5 minutes of him just wandering the streets in a haze. And people are really mean to him in the cars, saying really mean things to him, like, go, you're going to kill yourself, blah, 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 and all this, you know, 1980s dudes in their cars, like, I'm aggressive, type of thing, you know. I'm going to run someone over to prove I'm a man, you know, type of thing. I mean, that didn't happen, but he gets, so she finds out, because her powers are growing by the minute now, so she finds out that she can see where he is in one of her mirrors, so she can see him wandering the street in the mirror, and then she wants to power a bulldozer kind of thing, device, machine, to literally pick him up and then take him to the carnival where she lives or whatever. And then eventually the bulldozer does pick him up. This scene goes on for like 5 minutes. It's ridiculous. I mean, and Jimmy Olsen, yeah, sorry. And so Lucy Lane and Jimmy Olsen are hanging out in a diner eating lunch or whatever.
I think it was Popeye's Chicken.
That's right, it's Popeyes. Yeah, it's, yeah. Popeye's Chicken.
Popeye's Chicken and biscuits.
They're like, not like, like Jimmy's not even all concerned. He's like, oh, looks like they got someone stuck in that bulldozer machine. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, we shouldn't go after him, you know, you never know, someone like that could have a gun or a knife. So it's like, let's go eat. It's like, okay, fuck you, Jimmy Olsen. Like, he's gonna let a guy get swallowed up by a
Superman's fucking pal, Jimmy, yeah, Olsen.
It's like, fuck you. So then Linda Lee, you know, she leaves to become Supergirl, and then she tries to Lucy actually tries to climb into the bulldozer and steer it, but she ends up getting her head knocked or something, so she becomes unconscious. So then Supergirl then comes in and breaks the part of the bulldozer that's carrying him, then takes him off, but just leaves her friend for dead, you know, who's knocked unconscious in the bulldozer as it's driving. Could drive anywhere, could drive into a lake or a river.
Yeah.
Who cares, apparently? Her dorm mates, whatever. And of course, you know, as you can see, what probably happens when he wakes up, he sees Kara, or as Linda rather, and then now he's in love with Linda Lee now, not Selena. Uh oh.
Dum dum dum.
Yeah. So, as you can probably imagine, Selena is none too pleased with this development, and she decides now she's gonna take things out on what they called the Wimp, because at first they didn't they didn't know if she was Supergirl or something like that, or she tried to do something as Linda Lee, not as Supergirl for like a split second, and so they caught her. I don't know, something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, so they think it was just Linda.
Yeah. So what else happens after that? Missed that part, yeah.
I'm flying, Matt.
Cool.
I'm flying.
Cool.
I'm flying.
I like that.
I'm still flying.
Okay.
For like 5 minutes.
Yep.
And no plot is happening.
There's way too much of that going on in the movie.
Yes.
Her flying. It's like, we get it. She's excited about flying. But, man, we don't need a whole montage of this going on.
When the first Superman came out and they did that, the effects were, like, groundbreaking. Mm. And it was cool. But that was in 1978. This is 6 years later.
Right.
That's like when, you know, like when The Matrix came out, that bullet time thing was cool. But then when like 85 million other movies did it, it was like, okay.
Like, yeah.
What we am I get what? It. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's how things advance. Sorry.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. We can't live on the past, man.
Nope.
Okay, anyways. So what happens next in this, like, multi-plot filled mess.
Okay, so Selena summons a windstorm creature to attack Kara. It's invisible, and so Kara's getting hit by it. She doesn't know where it comes from, so she ends up taking one of those street lamp thing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And she ends up having to get electrified, so then she can like. Push it towards where she thinks the creature is, and then for some reason the creature is visible when it dies.
Yeah,
I'm not sure why, but okay.
Get that either.
So she kills the creature or sends it back to wherever it came from or whatever, I don't know what. And then she this is either before or during the same time where she goes to the carnival to try it because she can figure out, because she can sense when the Omega Hedron is doing stuff too, because she's trying to retrieve it, so she can have an idea of where it is. So
yeah.
she realizes that it's at the carnival. So then she's staking out the carnival to try to. She doesn't know it belongs to Selena at this point either. She's just going.
Yeah.
And then, but then the Ethan, the landscape guy, is following her because he's completely smitten by her. So
with flowers and chocolate.
Flowers and chocolate, and then. He, you know, she's kind of likes him too a little bit, even though like he's like just completely like, you know, 100%, like just not even real person at this point. He's just like a robotic, you know, whatever type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he begs her to go on a ride with him, like one of those like carnival, like what do they call it? Not Ferris wheel, but like the.
It's like a,
what do you call it?
It's almost like the teacup ride, but kind of different. I don't know what it is. It's
yeah.
kind of different. It's weird. Yeah.
One
it's
of like those type of rides.
Spinning thingy, my bobbers.
Yeah, it's a spinning thing. So then.
I watch a lot of videos about amusement parks.
Yeah, I know you do.
So you think I would know what the fuck those are called, right?
That's all right.
Yeah.
You don't have to know everything. It's fine. You're good.
No, I do. I need to know everything,
no,
Matt.
No, you don't.
I need to know everything.
You're fine.
I need to know everything.
It's okay.
No.
It's okay. Okay.
No. It's not okay. Okay, I'm good.
Okay. Anyway, they sit down on this one of these benches or whatever, and they have like a moment, you know, whatever. And then Selena turns on the lights, and then she uses her magic to make the thing spin like really, really fast, where she thinks, you know, it might actually kill them. But then Ethan's still in there. He's, like, passed out. But Kara is gone. Or Linda is gone, rather. Because she was dressed as Linda at the time. But then she reappears as Supergirl. And then they kind of have, like, a fight or whatever. I don't remember what happens with it. Oh, yeah, I know. I remember now. So, like, there's, like, they have, like, these football-themed bumper cars. With, like, the logos of the team on them. Like,
yeah.
The Pittsburgh. It was such a weird scene. And Ethan's in there, and he's trying to dodge the bumper. Like they would kill him. I mean, like, really? They go,
and
like, what, 5 miles per hour? Like,
it's just funny because, like, they shot this movie in England, and there's American NFL football team things there for some reason. I don't know if they... I don't know. I'm not British. Well, actually, I am part British, but that's...
Well, that's different.
Yeah, okay.
So... I did write down, though, there was actually a beginning plot that changed, because... I wrote this down. Selena practices black magic to dominate the world. Because that was her plan from the beginning with Nigel when she found this thing. And then somehow that plan converted over to making this dude landscape guy fall in love with her.
I don't know. What's the name Ethan mean? Does that mean the world?
No, it doesn't mean the world.
Okay, I'm just curious. Maybe that's what she meant.
She meant, yeah, she said world domination. Maybe she meant Ethan domination. I don't know. And then, And then she told Nigel this at the little soiree that they had where she was, you know, testing out her powers or whatever, and Nigel was looking for, you know, new women to manipulate or whatever with this knowledge. This whole movie is really creepy if you think about it like that, though, because, like, like, you got this dude who's, like, using, like, his knowledge of the occult to, like, basically date people. And then you've got Selena, whose original plan is world domination. But you know what? The writers were like, you know what, though? I don't think that's right for a woman to want world domination. You know what we should make the whole plot about? Her trying to find a guy. Because she's old.
And
she's an old woman, therefore she can't find a man. So we're going to make the whole plot using all the powers of dark magic you can find for this one sole purpose.
And I know, Matt, you were asking yourself, what does the name Ethan mean? Mm-hmm. You were, weren't you?
Yeah, what does it mean?
It means, it's a Hebrew name.
Okay.
That means firm, enduring, strong, and long-lived.
Well, his character is kind of like, he's, you know, landscape guy. He's tall. He's got muscles, you know.
He's handsome.
It makes sense
that
he named him that. But I'm not sure if that's why they named him that. But
I just had to look it up. I mean,
that's fine.
Yeah. I'm in a weird mood tonight, Matt.
You're fine. You're good. You're fine.
No, I'm not.
Okay. So what happens? What happened after that fight? I forgot what happened.
I'm not okay, though.
What happened, though? What? She sent Supergirl into the Phantom Zone, but that was later on, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't even remember now.
I don't know.
No, because she made that fortress for herself in the middle of town.
Oh, yeah.
Midvale.
That was... Yeah, but that was that before or after she got sent to the...
No, she went to the fortress first.
Yeah.
And then she sent her to the Phantom Zone, I think. I don't remember now. Who cares? But,
I think she sent her to the Phantom Zone first before the... Okay. It was before the fortress was there.
Okay.
Because that was later where everybody's like, hey, look, there's a mountain in the middle of the town.
Yeah. Okay, so here's another thing. So she wanted world domination. That kind of got converted over to, I just want this guy to be completely smitten with me. And then that converted to, oh, well, I got to get a little bit on this world domination thing. So I'll be like the queen of Midvale, like a small town outside of Chicago. Like, okay, so you're going to use all of your powers.
I'd be like, hey, I'm going to be I'm going to be the queen of Wilmette, Illinois.
Like, why? Like, like, there's like 2,000 people that live there. Like,
yeah.
It's like, again, like the stakes could not be lower in this movie. I mean, she has a device that can literally do anything she wants, and she's thinking in such small scales. So she creates this huge fortress in the middle of town, and there's like a mountain, and the fortress is on top. And then she seizes Lucy Lane and Jimmy Olsen because by the way, they all know who she is all of a sudden. They got protest signs, and they're like, go away, Selena. Like when did they hear about this person?
My thing is this, like, what's the time frame? Like, how long was it that this happened? Like, was this a week later? Was this a day later? Was this, like, 2 hours later? What was this?
Right.
I mean, I know I felt like the movie was a week long.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying. I don't know.
It's so weird. So then because her and her roommate put together that Linda Lee is Supergirl because they called her the Wimp. So they put together the two because Lucy said, oh, my roommate disappeared the night that you did this or whatever. And then that was the same night that Supergirl disappeared. So then they put together that, okay, that's the same person. So she gets sent into like this really kind of like dark cave type prison-like planet. Prison planet, Alex Jones. No. She gets sent, and it turns out that it's the Phantom Zone. And by the way, just in case you didn't know, the makers of this movie really, really, really wanted people to try Squirt, the drink, the soda.
And A&W.
Because they mentioned Squirt like 17 times in like 5 minutes in the Phantom
Zone. And they don't even show it, so it's just all to talk, you know?
It's like Squirt?
Yeah, it's
Squirt?
Yeah, but
Squirt?
I don't think they were talking about the soda.
Oh, wasn't? Okay, I thought he was.
I think that's what I thought, but...
Oh, damn it. I thought he had a soda bottle with them.
Somehow the Phantom Zone had a soda
bottle. I don't
know.
Whatever. Who cares? Nothing else in this movie makes sense. But
yeah.
Zaltar is at the Phantom Zone, and he saves her because she's trying to swim through like this green mud or something like that. And she passes out. He drags her out of the mud, and then she wakes up and sees him. And, you know, he's all being all depressed and moody about, you know, I destroyed Argo City because I lost the blah, blah, blah. And then she makes him feel guilty for feeling guilty, and then convinces him to help her get out of the Phantom Zone so that they could fix Argo City and then they could save. She says save Earth from Selena. That's very generous. Midvale, sure, but Selena does not own Earth at all by any stretch of the means. She barely has control of Midvale at this point. So,
I think she's in this whole like Selena's like Trump. thinks that, but sadly, Trump does kind of own America now.
Yeah.
But at the time, you know, he just had like the Trump Tower he built in his name and thought, hey, you know, this means I own New York City. No, right. You don't. You're a fucking dumbass. Anyways, I'm sorry.
Yeah. He is a piece of shit. But anyway, so
if I remake this movie, the villain's going to be Trump.
Good. And make him... No, I'm not going to say anything.
They are talking about doing a Supergirl movie soon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which kind of... I don't like the fact that they're doing like possibly a Supergirl and a Flash movie while they're still on TV. It's just like...
Without the same actors?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with different people playing the roles and stuff, but I'm just like, give it some time. Let it breathe. And my thing is who's going to pay money to go see a Supergirl movie when you can watch it weekly on TV?
Well, but movies are different, though.
It'll be different, yeah, but especially with DC's track record as far as movies go lately.
Their movies aren't that great.
No, I mean, I haven't seen Joker yet. I hear that's good, but...
Yeah, but see, Joker is not
it's a standalone
different. Yeah, it's not meant to be like the same...
Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman was good.
Yeah. I still haven't seen it yet.
Yes.
I still have your Blu-ray. I haven't watched it.
Yes, you should watch it.
I know. But yeah, so here's another inappropriately long scene. So they're in the Phantom Zone, and Selena can see that they're trying to escape from her mirror or whatever. So she summons a demon storm. I'm not sure why it's a demon storm. It's just a red tornado, but whatever. So, I mean, I didn't see any demons, but...
That's what demon storms are.
Okay, so...
Yes.
She summoned a demon storm to go to the Phantom Zones and, you know, kill them or stop them from whatever. So, you know, Zoltar's, like, trying to push Supergirl, like, up the mountain. And then she's like, you know, come with me or whatever. And he's like, I am with you or whatever, some bullshit, you know, inspirational speech or whatever. And he gets sucked in by the demon storm. He just swirls around this fucker for like a whole minute. Like, I mean, really, the pacing of this movie is just terrible. And she's
it's like, okay. Gollum falling into that pit in the end of Lord of the Rings took less time. Terminator falling into that pit of like melting of melted metal,
right?
In Terminator 2, right. Took less time.
He wasn't even falling; they had a little lever.
Yeah,
so it made sense for him to be slow.
Yeah,
because
that took less time though.
Yeah,
and okay, here's the thing. This was my thought as this was happening before this happened. So in this movie, this came out, you know, a few years like 7 years after.
Star Wars,
yes, and so this is kind of our Obi-Wan Kenobi character, this you know, Lawrence of Arabia, Peter O'Toole. Yeah, my thought there is our Obi-Wan sucks.
Yeah.
That's what I said when we were watching this.
That
yes,
was hilarious. That was,
yeah,
because you said like I wrote it down too because
yeah,
he said like yeah he's. Our Obi-Wan Kenobi, he's like, except our Obi-Wan Kenobi sucks, as he's swirling down the...
And the thing is like, I mean, you killed him way too late in the movie.
Right.
For him to mean anything.
Right.
He disappears for half the movie, and then you bring him back and then kill him. Like, you know, a few minutes later or a few hours later, I can't tell in this movie, the time was just so fucked up in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, by the way, Selena, she recaptured Ethan and put him under her spell again somehow. I forgot to say that because he was her king or whatever of Midvale. So, but he snapped out of that, too, at one point.
Yeah. I don't know. So, then what happens?
After our Obi-Wan Kenobi sacrifices himself, she gets out of the Phantom Zone. She goes back to the fortress and they have a fight. She, you know, she finds that Lucy and Jimmy are in like these like little ball cages things like you would see in some movie from like 1950s or whatever.
Yes.
And Selena goes, oh, they'll get the point, and then summons these spiky things or whatever.
Yeah.
Really bad pun.
These like hot spiky things.
Yeah.
They looked hot at least.
Yeah, they were kind of. Yeah,
they were red glowing.
Yeah. So Supergirl blows on them to, you know, to do the freezing thing and breaks them apart. And then Selena tries to crash them down as the spikes are, you know, still up there. But then they're.
And then sets them free.
She sets them free for some reason. I don't know why.
Basically, she ends up setting them free because she's a fucking dumbass. Idiot. She's the worst villain history of a comic book movie.
Is. And Nigel, he runs off like a fucking coward, but then he comes back later on to tell Supergirl how to defeat her because he's like, you know, he's the expert of black magic here or whatever. So Supergirl does like this like tornado type move to like basically like imprison Selena with energy or whatever, and then she gets like, I don't even know what happened to her. She just disappears or she gets whisked away. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
She got killed or what.
She basically dies, I guess, and then and then the movie ends.
That was pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ethan, he woke up from his stupor or whatever, and then he said goodbye to her because she went back to Argo City to save it. So it's kind of interesting because this was like a one-off story, whereas like, you know, Supergirl on our TV show, I say our, like I'm part of it somehow, like I'm writing for it, whatever. And our Supergirl, you know, CW,
the current Supergirl,
you know, she's on Earth pretty much to stay for life. I mean,
yeah, because she came from Krypton as opposed to Argo City in our version and stuff. Right. And anyways, you want to. Here, I'm gonna pull up some reviews, user reviews of this movie from the Internet Movie Database, my favorite website. Maybe, I don't know. Here's the first one from S.N. Clark from December 30th of 1998. So quite a while ago.
Wow, it is.
Yes. 10 out of 10. Great film. I have watched Supergirl quite a few times and simply love it. I think Helen Slater acted brilliantly in it, and she comes over very warm and comfortable in her role. So that was a nice little...
Yeah.
Yes. Let's see if I can find another one. All right, here's another 10 out of 10 review here from Wertherer from October 27th, 1999, right around Halloween.
Hmm. Yep, see? See with the holidays?
Yes. Even, 20 years ago. Is that 20 years ago?
Yeah. 21, actually.
Yeah, well...
99, sorry.
Yeah, 99 would be 20. Yeah. Okay, so... Supergirl has been panned by many a movie critic for technical flaws and uninspired effects. What they have forgotten to mention, however, is the brilliant acting portrayed in this piece of just that brilliance. Helen Slater could not be more perfect for the role, and Faye Dunaway, who received very bad reviews for her having left teeth marks all over the set, performs to the extent of which the role was written for her. She is a witch. How more evil can she be? Watch this
movie. Not evil enough.
Watch this movie for the first 15 minutes. The portrayal of Argo City as a utopian fantasy is worth the rental fee thrice over. Overall, destined for its status as a cult classic. Hooray to the Japanese for having the good taste in movies and making this the success that it is. Nice dream. I guess it did good in Japan or something. I don't know. So, yeah. There's a lot of 10 out of 10 reviews here, Matt. That's kind of weird. Yeah. Some of them say, like, perfect.
What?
The director's cut could change minds.
Okay. So there's more? So 2 hours is not long enough.
Yeah, very appropriate and not a flop. Let's find some bad reviews here.
Please.
Okay, here's a 1 out of 10, Matt. from Virtual Insanity.
Okay.
It's the person's name from January 5th of 2003, right around Martin Luther King's birthday, I believe. Maybe, I don't know. I'm just trying to find a holiday that might be around there. It's a few days from New Year's. Yeah. 1 out of 10. Oh, dear. Such potential wasted. The hardest thing to swallow about how bad this film really is the talent on hand, such as Peter O'Toole and Faye Dunaway. What on earth possessed them to put together their genius into this appalling production is beyond me. Helen Slater's acting is cardboard as it gets. I don't agree with that. I think she was actually decent. The principal storyline just stinks, and the plot is so full of holes, it's untrue. The special effects are just plain awful, and everything in the movie looks like a bad prop from the 1930s version of Flash Gordon. But enough about the good points. The one thing that really annoys me is the patronizing but generally incorrect use of sci-fi description. Some of the words they dream up are just so lacking in imagination and condescending, it's nauseating. Omega Hadron, I ask you? I'm pretty sure that's from the comics, actually, but that's a little... but anyways, in short, if you want to make history and tell everyone you have witnessed quite possibly the worst film ever made, then watch Supergirl. If, however, you value the relatively short time we have on this planet, then please don't waste 2 hours of it watching this trite, worthless drivel. Okay, so there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to read a little bit of trivia here from the movie quick. The film's opening credits cost almost $1 million to shoot. Those 3.5 minutes of words flying on the fucking screen that could have been a lot shorter cost $1 million to shoot. Mm. Yeah. Helen Slater later went on to appear in Smallville and also plays Eliza Danvers on Supergirl, as we've mentioned. John Williams' theme for Superman appears briefly in Jerry Goldsmith's score. Demi Moore was slated to play Lucy Lane, but opted out at the last moment, as did Christopher Reeve, as I said. John Travolta was approached to play Ethan. That'd have been interesting.
Huh.
Robert Wise turned down an offer to direct this. Melanie Griffith was considered for Supergirl. That's about it, but I just wanted to bring up some observations I had about this film. Okay, first off, we have some sexual assault right towards the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Faye Dunaway's character of Selena roofying Ethan.
Which is sexual assault. Well,
yeah.
She didn't do anything with him, but it was intended.
Okay, Lucy and Linda, were they in high school, do you think?
I think it was a high school, academy type of thing.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was high school or college, because the thing is, Jimmy looks like he's about 30. And if...
Did he? He looked pretty young to me, though.
Yeah, but he kind of looks old.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure he was at least 30 when they made this movie.
I'm pretty sure, though, it was high school because they had to sign out and crap like that. Usually when you're in college.
Yeah, but sometimes in college you do out of dorms and stuff. But I don't know. I was just really confused because he's pretty old to be dating a high school student in Lucy. That's just bothersome to me.
Yeah.
I mean, give it a few years and it'll be okay, but
I don't think they really thought any of this through at all. When they made it, they're just like, we'll just throw together a bunch of crap.
Do you think they just put a bunch of words into a blender and just let them kind of crap out and then see what happened and came up with the script?
Yeah.
So my last question before we close up here, Matt, is would you recommend this movie to anyone?
Yeah, maybe.
To who?
To, like, bad people. I don't know.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe put somebody in, like, that chair like Alex in Clockwork Orange and just make them watch this movie over and over and over again or something.
Yeah.
Something like that. No,
you can watch it. I think, I mean, okay, like, if you just have it on TV and you're kind of half watching it with, like, your friends or something, like your family.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Maybe put it on while you're vacuuming.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. Okay, so anything else before we go here, Matt?
Nope.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us for this super episode of, you know, our new series here, Crisis on Infinite Films. We'll have a few more of these coming up soon. Hope you enjoyed it.
I know I didn't.
Bye-bye.
Have a super day.
Super duper. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Joey Galvez. I want to tell you guys a little bit about the Department of MetaHuman Affairs. This one is a story about a team led by a retired sidekick, two felons, a failed actor from Broadway, and a reprogrammed cyborg. But their first mission is to stop the criminals who have robbed a bank, and they will have to set the world at ease. You're going to get 180 pages of entertainment, action-packed awesomeness right here in the first six issues in a collected hardcover volume one. All you got to do is head on over to Kickstarter.com and type in the Department of MetaHuman Affairs or DMA and check it out right now.